A priest at a former parish of mine had a particular way of blessing the mothers on Mother's Day. And so when he would have them stand up and do the blessing, but then he would add, "And I want to offer God's blessing on all those who do motherly things." And it was a kind of cute. A word like mother can hold within it a very specific kind of meaning. And with words, we see that, you know, especially, for example, in the area of science, it's very important that each word have a very precise meaning, because then it has to be distinguished from other words and other similar words. But the other thing that we can do with words is that we can kind of expand their meaning so that they are more kind of inclusive and cover more kind of concepts. When we go too far in either extreme, we kind of lose the value of a word, or we lose its specific meaning. And I know that priest was trying to expand the idea of mothering as something that we can all participate in some way. And it was kind of cute, and it always made people smile. The issue that Jesus brings focus on about today is what it means to be a mother or brother or sister. Those who are his disciples will have a relationship with him that is deeper than natural family bonds. So he says that whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother. So we might ask the question, well, is he kind of expanding the words so that they really don't mean anything, or is he giving them a new meaning? Some have used this passage to undermine the importance of Jesus' own natural mother, Mary. That idea suggests that she gave birth to him, but that that biological fact was no longer important. Our Catholic view is exactly the opposite. What we see over and over again is that Mary meets all of the criteria for what it means to be a faithful disciple. She trusts God totally and cooperates fully with God's plan of salvation, even before she fully understands it. This makes her not just the natural mother of Jesus, but also the most important of the disciples of the new family of God, kind of the matriarch of the new family of God. And this is the grace of God building on the nature that God has given us through the natural family way of being. Now, the Israelites for centuries had only known what it means to be God's people in the context of being slaves. They had not yet experienced the freedom to be God's family. They were at the shore of the Red Sea, as today's event and story unfolds, after the 10 plagues and after the Passover event, finally about to become the people with their own identity, an absolutely unique identity given to them by the God of creation and the God of promises. But that possibility was about to be lost just as it was about to begin. Now, there's much to fathom in the event of the escape of the people from their former slave masters. Everyone in both nations was used to the relationship of slavery. It was hard to break. It points out at the beginning of the passage that Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his army pursued them so as to enslave them once again. He wanted to renew that relationship, Pharaoh did. And as much as the people didn't enjoy the increasing level of suffering and death that they had experienced at the hands of those slave masters, it was all that anyone from both sides had been familiar with. It was a very specific kind of relationship. Now, there is a Jewish commentary called the Midrash, which explains that as they watched Pharaoh's army come closer, the people were divided into four possible kind of actions. There were those who said, "Let us throw ourselves into the sea rather than become slaves again." Second group said, "Let us return to Egypt willingly rather than forcibly." Third faction argued, "Let us turn and fight them." But there were some who said, "Let us pray to God to save us." Now, we know God's ultimate victory, and we might naturally say, yes, that sounds like the best alternative. But the commentary goes on to say that Moses rejected all four options, saying to the people, fear not, stand by and see the salvation of God, which he will show you today. God shall fight for you, and you shall be silent. On that day, with the seemingly impossible situation before them, Moses was telling them that God is in charge, that God has brought you this far, and God will not abandon you. Watch and see. The way this event is told in the book of Exodus makes the sea the key focus of attention. When you look at that first reading and the psalm, the sea and the waters are mentioned 25 times just in these passages. And so we should always pay attention to such things. It's no accident or because the writer couldn't think of any other words to use. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, the sea is the place of disorder and chaos. It's the place of storms and from where monsters come. It's dangerous and unpredictable. But most of all, it is what existed before God created the world and the garden and life itself. It says God's spirit hovered over the waters until God separated the waters below from the waters above. And then God made dry land appear, separating the water from the land. So we could see images of creation as the story of the crossing of the Red Sea unfolds. There is absolute chaos until God separates the dry land from the water. And those who are cooperating with God's plan, they come through that chaos. And those who seek to thwart God's plan are thrown directly into the chaos. And at that moment, when they come through and it's over, the people seem to really get it for the moment. They sing because they have been brought through the chaos and out of the chaos to become a people in intimate relationship with God. Moses invited the people to come out of the chaos and be a free people, free to become part of God's family. When our world today starts to redefine mothering and the family, we must notice that we are being drawn into a new kind of slavery that will result in our destruction ultimately. The redefinition of family that is taking place all around us has become so inclusive that from this shore where we stand, we can see the approach of a kind of a darkness and chaos. Oh, family is anything that you want it to be. It's a disintegration. It's a tearing down. But when Jesus redefines family, he draws us upwards into order and into the deeper mystery of what it means to be family. He builds on the natural family, mothers, brothers, and sisters, and he gives that family greater meaning. A disciple is one who sits at the feet of Jesus and absorbs the order which keeps away the chaos. That's what the new family means in Jesus Christ. And so we are invited today to be his disciples. Let us sit at his feet and be drawn into his true family, into freedom, into what it means to be mothers and brothers and sisters. So today we are invited to sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously.